Thanks again for joining me here at PreachingTheGospelThatSaves.com from our bookstore blog, Books Not Found in Our So-Called Christian Bookstores. And this was one of the things that dumbfounded me when I started learning that there was another side to Christianity, the conservative side, the fundamental side versus the liberal side, the Billy Graham side, is that half of these, more than I'd say 80% of the library I have today, you will not find in any Christian bookstore. The 20% that I have, you will find in the Christian bookstore because those are the dumbed down translations that I have. So I can read those to you as we compare that with the 1769 King James Bible. Also, since we're a little bit off topic though with this, but have you ever noticed in your so-called Christian bookstore that they have nothing that's Pauline? Everything is that of Israel's prophecy. Whether it be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whether it be a devotion in James, whether it be all kinds of teachings about prophecy and revelation, Paul is nowhere to be found. So when you get things right in your Bible, your whole library will flip. You'll have all kinds of books about Pauline doctrine, and you'll have very few about Israel and the prophetic program. It totally flips. But when you're trafficking in liberal Christianity, it's all about revelation, it's all about the Ten Commandments, it's all about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being the New Testament when it's not, so on and so forth. So Many Versions is the title of the new book, not found in your so-called Christian bookstore. Ask your pastor why it's not there. We'll be going through this book, which brings to light so many versions of the Bible. How do these versions stack up to God's perfect words, the 1769 King James Bible, which they never mention in this book, which is the Blaney text? It is always the 1611 translation. Here's what the authors Saki Kubo and Walter Speck say in chapter 1 titled Early Modern Speech Versions. Page 26. In the 16th century, William Tyndale risked his life to translate the scriptures and died as a martyr in 1538. What they don't tell you is he died by the hands of Roman Catholics, okay? What was it that inspired him to undertake such a dangerous and daring work, Tyndale said. This is what Tyndale said. Which thing only moved me to translate the New Testament because I had perceived by experience how that it is impossible to establish the lay people in any truth because Rome had their hand on everything back then, okay? Except the scripture were plainly laid before their eyes in their mother tongue that they might see the processing of the text. William Tyndale wanted everybody to have a copy of the Bible in their own hands. Roman Catholics did not, okay? It's no different today, okay? When you go to one of these so-called churches, which I'm going to tell you right now, they're not, you have the one person standing up front and you have thousands in the congregation listening to that one person. And the way you know that it is not set up as an assembly of believers who are Pauline is no one asks that guy questions. That guy's not going to do a question and answer thing after his preaching. And not one person raises their hand when that person preaching says something wrong. That's not how the body of Christ functions. The body of Christ is supposed to edify one another. We're an edifice when we're saved. We're a new creature. And this is how another way you can tell wrong teaching. It's set up the same way Rome set it up. The only thing different in these non-denominational places, and they don't have, you know, they don't have the pretty windows like the Roman Catholics do, right? But anyway, later on page 26, they fall for the devil's lie. Unfortunately, the very version prefaced by these noble words, the King James Version 1611, is no longer speaking their language of the common man. To the average man of today, the language of the King James Version seems strange and foreign. There is therefore danger that the Bible may seem to modern man to be something out of date and irrelevant. This has been recognized now for nearly a century. Hence, toward the end of the 19th century And in the beginning of the 20th century, a movement arose calling for translations of the Bible in modern English. And actually, that took place in 1880, is when the American Standard Version came out. And guess what? It went out of print because there were lack of sales. And then the New American Standard came out shortly after. But anyway, what they fail to tell you is that the King James Bible, the 1769, Blaney brought it up to speed, and it is modern English. Oops. So take note that this book puts scholarship first, okay? And that means they don't believe the words on the page. Most scholars do not believe in creation, do not believe Jesus Christ's miracles, do not believe the virgin birth, so on and so forth. They refer to the originals. There are no originals on the face of the planet. They attack the so-called archaic words, the King James Bible, which again is in modern English. Most people do not know, even people who claim to be King James Bible people, don't even know they're using a 1769, not a 1611. As we press forward, we will compare the versions that they have listed in this book and see how they stack up in the modern English against God's perfect words, the 1769 King James Bible. And so on page 70, we continue, so many versions, and this is what they say. Any translation that attempts to translate not merely words but ideas and seeks to bridge the gap between the ancient past and the present faces many problems. That would be your New International Version, okay? That is called a dynamic equivalent. How far should one go? Amounts of money, measures, and weights may be relatively easy to translate, but does one modernize greet with a holy kiss, with shake hands, or sandals with shoes, or girding one's loins with tighten one's belt? What about ideas that are foreign to our modern culture? One can see how translation might imperceptibly, and you're talking perception here, right? Imperceptibly merge into interpretation. And I'm going to tell you right now, perception's not truth, okay? So one person did that, and his name is Eugene H. Patterson, and it's called the Message Bible. I call it the massage, okay? It will massage you to hell. And with the Message Bible, which was a benefit for tsunami relief, you can go to, I'm just going to pick a verse just so you can see how terrible this thing is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I, Paul, together here with Silas and Timothy, send greetings to the church at Thessalonica, Christians assembled by God the Father and by the Master, Jesus Christ. God's amazing grace be with you. God's robust peace. How about that? Did you hear anything wrong in that? If you haven't, you need to continue to listen to what I'm going to teach you. Stay tuned for next week. Thanks again for listening.